WMUK's West Southwest Brief. I'm Savella Mann. Kalamazoo has plenty of official historic sites, but the Hidden Kalamazoo Tour took a different approach to the story of the city's downtown. For half a decade, it led curious visitors through unofficial but revealing locations, places like old apartments and long-defunct department stores. Those rooms said something about how life used to be lived, but there wasn't a tour this summer. As we hear in this interview that first aired in June, the people behind the Hidden Kalamazoo Tour are trying another approach.
Rather than do a tour, we planned we were going to do a book.
Sharon Ferraro is the City of Kalamazoo's Historic Preservation Coordinator. We're also joined by Historic Preservation Commission member Regina Gorham and former member Tony Halowinski. Ferraro says it's getting harder to explore the downtown.
When we started doing the tour, there were a lot of empty spaces downtown, especially the upstairs. And because of the development that's going on down there now, we just don't have those spaces anymore. There's two spaces we haven't seen. One has an unsafe staircase and the other one has no staircase to the second floor. And we feel it would be inappropriate to take people on tops of the roof of a building and up a ladder to go on a tour.
When you were doing the tour, where were you going? Are these buildings that everybody in Kalamazoo knows the name of? Are they ones you've never heard of? Or is it a little bit of both?
Well, there's the State Theater, which I'm sure everybody has seen at least once, I'm hoping, or been inside. That's kind of the crown jewel of the downtown. We went through 27 different buildings, usually vacant upper floors. Sometimes it was ground floor. Most of the time it was a vacant upper floor. Sometimes it was a building that had already been totally rehabilitated, such as the building that Bronson uses for Bronson Healthcare Group, what we call the Upjohn World Headquarters building on John Street. So we had some buildings that were completely redone, and we had some where we actually literally had to cover holes in the floor and put cones around it so people wouldn't go through.
Two spaces that you maybe don't get to explore as much in historical context are interiors and then also uncurated spaces. That's what always struck me reading about Hidden Kalamazoo. You're not taking people to a space where, you know, you've set up somebody's bed like it was in the 19th century with their dresser next to it. It's a little more raw than that, but it sounds like there's something to be discovered in that.
Oh, yeah. One of my running jokes with the folks that own Heemster Optical, who have been wonderfully supportive of this whole thing, is that every time they get new equipment for their optical company, they move the old stuff upstairs. So it's like the 20th century optical equipment museum up there. Mm-hmm. Totally uncurated, though. It's like all random pieces around here. And it's absolutely fascinating just to go up there and see what there is, because that space is probably unused since around World War I, except for storage. So yeah, you're right. It's an uncurated space. What's here? What used to be here? What can the building itself tell us? I mean, when we go into above the Coney Island, for example, this is a little tiny detail, but...
And for people who don't know the Coney Island...
The Coney Island building, it's the four-story at 262 to 266 East Michigan. The Coney Island has been there forever. But anyway, there was two different ways that you would put plaster on a wall. One is you'd put the trim up first on the floor, and then you'd put the plaster down to the trim. And the other is you'd put the plaster all the way down, then you'd put the trim over it. And that's one of the ways you can date a building or when it was done, by that little tiny detail. And in that building, you can see that. Okay? And in other buildings, you would have to, like, well, I don't know, maybe make a hole in the wall to see that, and that would be inappropriate generally. So we've had a lot of fun pointing out details. How did people ventilate buildings in the 19th century, in the early 20th century, when we didn't have air conditioning? How did transoms work? Why were there skylights on all these buildings? How did people rent a room? Why aren't there kitchens in all these apartments?
Not everybody had a kitchen.
No, not everybody had a kitchen. In fact, we found, I think in all the upper floor buildings that we looked at, I think we found one, maybe two kitchens. Or the remnants of a kitchen. You know, there are no appliances in it, but you'd see, you know, that it was set up to be a kitchen, that kind of thing. So it's just because they didn't. You would rent a room, or you might rent two rooms. And they would just usually be sleeping rooms, and there would be a shared bathroom down the hall.
One of the cool things is when you're looking at a building and you're trying to date it, look at something as minute as wallpaper. And there are cases where you can go layer to layer and say, oh, well, this was put up in the 40s. And then you go back and you can see the different patterns. And I think we've gone all the way back to the 1800s.
There is a different feeling to being in a historic building than when you're in a modern building. And I don't know if everybody feels that when they walk into a space like that, I know that I do, and I, everybody who works on the tour does too, and everybody who goes on the tour, I feel like, are of the same mind. But when you're literally walking into a space that is as is, like in the Coney Island specifically, you're walking into a space that people walked into every day 150 years ago to go home to their room or to leave to go to work. And you're walking those same steps and you're walking that same space. And we do the tour during the summer. So last year I was in Coney Island when it was like 95 degrees outside. So you can literally feel what it was like to be in there without air conditioning.
You just feel the security, the safety, the heft of the building.
So you're working on a book version of Hidden Kalamazoo. And so is the book pretty much meant to be the tour on paper?
We're covering the same sites. There is going to be a little bit more information in that. We're explaining some of those things like Sharon talked about. So what is a transom window? Why were there skylights in the center? Why are all the rooms faced towards the center? Those sorts of things that are stuff that we probably would have talked about on the tour. Plus, we are adding more as a group of nerdy researchers who love looking things up. Many of us, I will include myself in it, went down rabbit holes of researching, finding the names of the people that lived in the apartments, finding, you know, that they had an office up there and did sewing on the side, you know, out of their apartment and that sort of thing. So really bringing to light a few more stories that maybe we didn't know about during the tour.
Might the tour return in the future?
Depends on an awful lot of different things. Partly finding places to go that we haven't already seen, because the first year we did the tour, very successful. The second year was not as good because we reused some of the spaces. So we know that people, you know, maybe if it's long enough, they'll be happy to go and look at the spaces again. And we've also been toying with the idea of possibly moving out into a neighborhood.
Sharon Ferraro is the City of Kalamazoo Historic Preservation Coordinator. We also heard from Historic Preservation Commission member Regina Gorham and former member Tony Halawinski. As we heard in this interview that first aired in June, Ferraro, Halawinski, and Gorham are working on a book version of the Hidden Kalamazoo Tour. They hope to have it done in time for the winter holidays. You can hear more about downtown Kalamazoo's most intriguing and least known spaces in WMUK's West Southwest podcast. There we also learn about a project to rehabilitate gravestones at Kalamazoo's oldest active cemetery.
The group is called the Grave Issues Squad.
The West Southwest podcast is available on Apple iTunes and by searching podcasts in Google Music. This is West Southwest Brief. I'm Savilla Mann.